The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with the continuation of an article from AARP, the magazine, about where to go in 2025. Exciting places. Next on the list here is Memphis, Tennessee. Why? To celebrate a king of the blues. In 2025, this American music mecca is staging a celebration for a musical king. September 16th will mark the 100th anniversary of B.B. King's birth. Head to the famous Beale Street, where B.B. King's Blues Club will celebrate on September 18th with a musical tribute featuring members of King's band. When King arrived from Mississippi in 1946, Beale Street was the vibrant hub of Memphis's black cultural scene. He quickly landed a radio DJ gig as the Beale Street Blues Boy, later shortened to BB, and built a fan base playing the guitar in local clubs. These days, tourists swarm in Beale Street, including the Rum Boogie Cafe and King's namesake Blues Club. Memphis also boasts a number of music sites to visit in homage to the King. You can see Sun Studio, where he recorded, as did Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, and Jerry Lee Lewis. And check out the Memphis Rockin' Soul Museum and the Stax Museum of American Soul Music. But perhaps the best way to celebrate is by driving into the city's still-thriving music scene. One must-visit spot is the outdoor Overton Park Shell, built as a Works Progress Administration project in 1936. The amphitheater hosted Elvis's historic debut performance in 1954. He opened for Slim Whitman. And it offers free concerts every year from May through October and a backstage museum experience year-round. To escape the tourists, head to Bar DKDC. The locals say it stands for Don't Know, Don't Care. It's my favorite spot for cool live music. It gets not just local artists, but touring artists that don't mind playing tiny spaces, says Cole Early, Overton Park Shell's content and archives manager, and a Memphis music enthusiast and self-described music fanatic. It's a well-kept secret. Many Memphians have no clue about it. Early raves, too, about Crosstown's little-known Memphis Listening Lab, a music library from a collection of 35,045 RPM singles, 15,000 LPs, and 25,000 CDs. Guests can visit the lab's sound room, make a selection, and relax in a comfy chair. It's the ultimate place for vinyl and music nerds, Earl says. And don't miss the Green Room, an under-the-radar, intimate venue. Then let's look at Argentina. Why to go? A favorable exchange rate. When dipping into your savings account to take an international vacation, one key consideration is affordability. So when weighing where to travel, research the strength of the dollar compared to local currency for more purchasing power. Argentina is a popular destination that is easy to reach, and it typically has the best exchange rate to the dollar in the Americas, a recent report from Net Voucher Codes found. But Argentina offers more than inexpensive empanadas. You'll find glaciers, massive mountains, and miles of Atlantic coastline. Hikers will love Ushuaia, the world's southernmost city, and El Chalten, a Patagonian town near the Parque Nacional Los Glaciares. Sorry about that. Ignatius Falls is part of a World Heritage Site that straddles the border with Brazil. Birders flock to Parque Nacional Iberia to spot more than 300 species, from cuckoos to kingfishers. Among South America's most visited cities, Buenos Aires boasts interesting colonial-style architecture and a culture that combines European heritage with Latin passion, says Camelia Antonio, a city tour guide. She recommends a walk in the Palermo, Soho, and Villa Crespo neighborhoods to see the city's dramatic street art. Another benefit to Argentina, no over-tourism, says tour guide and travel consultant Veronica Ducre. Less congestion can make a trip more pleasant for older travelers and allows more chances to get to know the locals. We are passionate and outspoken, and we are friendly, welcoming, and warm, Ducre says of Porteños, as Buenos Aires residents are called. You'll make friends on day one in this city and in the whole country. And don't miss Buenos Aires, known as the Paris of South America. All right, now let's move on over to AARP, the bulletin, and the heading of Your Money. Make your retirement savings last. Manage the risk of a big market downturn early on. Managing your retirement finances usually means investing for the long run and not sweating short-term market movements. But there's one point when the short term is very important. That's the first few years of retirement, when big losses can jeopardize your financial security much more than a downturn later on. Imagine two 65-year-old women, Andrea and Beth, each retiring with $500,000 in investments. Each withdraws a $25,000 in the first year, then increases that withdrawal annually just enough to keep up with inflation. They invest in different funds, each of which has gains in some years and losses in others, but both of which, after 25 years, have had annualized returns of 6%. There's only one difference. Andrea's fund is slammed by double-digit losses in each of the first 3 years of her retirement. Beth's fund suffered those same losses, but much later, when she's in her late 80s. The result? Despite those losses later in life, Beth ends up with $1.2 million by age 90. But Andrea runs out of money by the age of 83. That's because her losses early on, along with her withdrawals when the markets are down, leave less money in her account that can grow when markets take off. This phenomenon, the fact that poor investment returns early and in retirement hurt you more than losses later, is something professional financials officers think about a lot. It makes sense for retirees to be prepared for a series of down markets, especially early in retirement, says Tim Steffen, Director of Advanced Planning at Baird, a wealth management firm in Milwaukee. No one knows when the next big downturn will happen or whose retirement it might affect. Fortunately, there are ways to protect yourself from the threat posed by losses right before you retire or soon afterward. Consider these guidelines. 1. Focus on your budget. If you're still in the workforce, start estimating how your costs and spending might add up in retirement. It's important to know what portion of your spending will go toward essential costs and what discretionary spending you might be able to cut back or eliminate, if necessary. By lowering expenses early in a downturn, you can leave more money invested for possible growth. Granted, trimming discretionary spending may be more challenging than you think. In the run-up to retirement and in the first few years after leaving the workforce, some people tend to splurge, especially on travel or entertainment, according to research by J.P. Morgan Asset Management. But by analyzing your budget now, you can plan for a few luxuries, even if the market drops. 2. Keep some cash. Once you've calculated your essential costs, set aside a cash reserve large enough to cover them for the next 1 to 3 years, if possible. By keeping that cash at the ready, you can avoid having to tap your retirement portfolio at market lows or run up credit card bills to meet expenses. You will worry a lot less while buying time for the market to recover, says Liz Windisch, a financial planner in Denver. If pulling together all that cash isn't realistic, consider shifting a portion of your retirement investments to cash, says Dana Anspach, a financial planner in Scottsdale, Arizona. If there's a downturn in the first years of retirement, you can use that money for costs instead of selling stocks. And if the market goes up, you can sell some of your stocks to meet expenses while leaving some cash on hand. Be sure to keep your cash savings safe and easily accessible, perhaps in a bank account or treasury money market fund. Many cash accounts are still paying attractive yields. Recent online bank savings accounts were yielding 5% or more, according to depositaccounts.com. 3. Be flexible on withdrawals. You may have heard the rule of thumb for retirement withdrawals. Start by taking out 4% of your portfolio in the first year. Then increase that amount annually based on the rate of inflation. This approach has worked well over past 30-year periods, but it's a dicey move to simply set and forget your withdrawal rate. Jay Abolafia, a financial planner in Waltham, Massachusetts, favors a simple approach similar to the IRS rules for taking required minimum distributions, RMDs, from IRAs and 401ks. Drive your savings by your expected remaining years. Divide your savings. Then withdraw that amount. For example, if Andrea or Beth expects to live to 90, she divides $500,000 by 25 to get a withdrawal of $20,000 in the first year. In future years, the remaining portfolio would be divided by fewer years, which could allow you to take out more. As with RMDs, the plan will gradually reduce your account over your lifetime. Another approach is to use a spending plan linked to market performance. A 2006 study by Jonathan Guyton, a financial planner in Edina, Minnesota, and William Klinger, a professor at Raritan Valley Community College in Branchburg, New Jersey, found that using guardrails, rules that specify small spending changes after big market swings, can help retirees avoid running out of money over three or more decades, despite bear markets. By making a small adjustment right away, it can save you from having to make big adjustments later. The precise rules require some math, so this approach is best for those who are comfortable punching a calculator. You'll also need to cope with occasional swings in income. 4. Adjust investments. Though a well-diversified portfolio won't entirely shield you from downturns, it can help minimize market risk. In 2022, an index fund portfolio, 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds, a standard balance mix, fell 14.4%, according to Morningstar Direct. But that was only the second double-digit loss for the 60-40 portfolio since 1973, following a 19.5% drop in 2008. Last year, the portfolio gained 17.3%. Over the past five decades, the 60-40 portfolio registered losses in just 10 years while delivering a 9.2% annualized return, Morningstar data shows. It's important to customize your portfolio to suit your goals and risk tolerance. If you want safety, you might consider selling some of your stocks while increasing your bond holdings. Markets are giving a higher return for playing it safe, so it's reasonable to ask if the upside of taking risk through stocks is worth the possibility of having to cut back on spending, says Michael Fink, a professor of economic security research at the American College of Financial Services. And finally, 5, consider guaranteed income. Perhaps the best protection from market downturns is a steady stream of guaranteed income. Fortunately, most retirees get that from their Social Security benefit, which has the bonus of including an annual adjustment for inflation. For additional guaranteed income, one strategy is to buy TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, which pay yields that also adjust for inflation. To get that income, you build what's known as a bond ladder, buying issues with staggered maturities. One TIPS might mature in 2030, one in 2031, and so on. With the TIPS ladder, you get a steady source of income that keeps pace with inflation. You can buy TIPS directly from the U.S. Treasury at treasurydirect.gov or through a brokerage firm. Another option is to purchase a low-cost income annuity, which will give you protection against longevity and market risk, says Wade Fan, a retirement researcher and author of the Retirement Planning Guidebook. With a single premium immediate annuity, one of the simplest types to buy, you put in a lump sum, and the insurer sends you a monthly check for the rest of your life. Recently, a 67-year-old man investing $50,000 could buy an immediate annuity paying $4,000 a year over his lifetime, according to ImmediateAnnuities.com. This article was by Penelope Wang, who is an award-winning personal finance journalist who has worked at Consumer Reports and Money Magazine. The next article is under Fraud Watch. My phone was cloned. Criminals take over your phone and then drain your bank account. Here's how to prevent it. After a relaxing family vacation in Mexico with his wife and their two young sons, Bob Davis switched his phone out of airplane mode as their plane reached the gate of an airport in the northwestern U.S. last summer. My phone wasn't connecting to cell service, he says. I turned it off and back on, but nothing. Back home, Bob and Jennifer, not their real names to protect their identity, went online and discovered criminals had locked them out of their financial accounts and launched a stealing spree. Scammers ordered an Airbnb gift card, apparently as a wedding present, and bought thousands of dollars of stereo equipment through the family's Amazon account. Worse, the crooks were in the process of transferring $30,000 out of the company's Coinbase cryptocurrency account. The thieves had set up an international bank account to try to withdraw the money, but we contacted the company in time to stop it, Jennifer says. We caught it just in time. Bob and Jennifer stayed up until 3 a.m. dialing customer service departments for every important financial account, trying to stop the looting. The scammers had changed logins and passwords, so the couple had to prove they were the real owners. In the days that followed, they found out what had happened. They were targets of SIM swapping, a sophisticated cell phone cloning scam that has cost Americans hundreds of millions of dollars. How it works. Fraudsters start by obtaining personal identifying information about their victims, often buying it online from other criminals. They use this stolen information to impersonate their victims, convincing a cell phone company to reassign a victim's phone number to the SIM card in the criminal's phone. SIM is short for Subscriber Identity Module, which includes a unique ID number for a specific mobile phone account. The scammers then break into the victim's online financial accounts, typically logging in with stolen usernames and passwords. They intercept security codes sent to the victim's cell phone number via text or call. They then reset passwords to lock victims out. Once in control of your phone, they rob you blind. When a SIM swap attack happens, the end goal is your money, says Jonathan S. Weissman, cybersecurity principal lecturer at Rochester Institute of Technology. Losses can be devastating. SIM swappers stole $65,000 from a California man's bank account and drained a Florida woman's life savings of over $68,000 in 2022, according to news reports. In February, three members of a criminal gang called the Powell SIM Swapping Crew were indicted in U.S. District Court on charges they stole more than $400 million in crypto between 2021 and 2023 from over 50 victims in more than a dozen states. In April, reports surfaced online the scammers attempted to bribe cell phone company employees to make the swaps. The Federal Communications Commission vows to curb the problem with rules that will go into effect this year, requiring carriers to protect customers from SIM swaps. But cybersecurity experts say you can take steps now to protect yourself. Freeze your phone number. Ask your cell phone carrier if you can lock or freeze your phone number so a secret password or PIN must be provided before the carrier will make changes to the account. The FCC will require carriers to offer locking or freezing soon, but you can ask for it before the rules go into effect. Act fast if you recognize a SIM swap. If your cell phone suddenly won't connect to your provider and you cannot make calls or receive text messages, you may be the victim of a SIM swap, the FCC warns. Use your landline or a borrowed phone to call your cell phone provider. Contact your bank and other financial institutions right away to make sure accounts haven't been breached. Don't rely on texting messages for account security codes. Multi-factor authentication for bank, credit card, email, and other accounts often means getting a code via text message when you log in. But if a bad actor is in control of your phone number, they'll get those secret codes, says security researcher Kevin Lee, lead author of a SIM swap study by Princeton University. When possible, use an authenticator app. Beef up usernames and passwords. Use strong, unique usernames and passwords, Wiseman advises. A long password that you never reuse on other accounts is best, he says. And hide personal info. Don't make yourself a target. Keep quiet on social media about personal details such as your date of birth, mom's maiden name, your first car, and where you went to elementary school, the wireless trade group CTIA recommends. And this article was by Sherry Harar, who's a contributing editor at AARP, who writes frequently about health and fraud. Now, under your health, here's 10 ways to help curb sugar cravings, simple and effective strategies to keep your sweet tooth from undermining your health. You don't need another reason to cut down on sugar. From the problematic cavities weight gain to the downright dangerous diabetes, heart disease, and stroke, sugar makes just about everything worse. A recent review of more than 8,600 research papers published in the BMJ found 45 negative health effects from sugar, including increased risk of asthma, depression, and several types of cancer. But just try to resist the free donuts in the office, the cookie tray at the party, the cold sweet tea on a hot summer's day. We don't just like sugar, we crave it. Indeed, more than 90% of Americans experience food cravings, according to studies. And we don't have to be hungry to seek out sugar. Hormonal shifts, habits, even boredom, contribute to our desire for sweets. Sugar actually has a physical effect on the brain, triggering the release of feel-good hormones such as serotonin and dopamine. As a result, the average American consumes 17 teaspoons of added sugar a day, about 2 to 3 times the amount the American Heart Association recommends. Enjoying a piece of your grandchild's birthday cake or a fancy dessert on a big night out makes sense, but that's different from the incessant noshing and mindless sweet snacking that often ratchets up our sugar intake. To help tame your sweet tooth, try these simple strategies. Eat a protein-packed breakfast. Foods high in sugar or carbohydrates spike insulin levels in your bloodstream. When your blood sugar drops again in an hour or two, you'll find yourself craving your next fix. You can get off blood sugar treadmill and keep cravings at bay by starting off your day with a breakfast high in protein. Think eggs, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, or a smoothie with protein powder. Protein gives you energy while keeping your blood sugar levels stable. A study published in Nutrition Journal found that people who ate a breakfast high in protein, 40% protein, had fewer food cravings than those who skipped breakfast or had a breakfast that was only 15% protein. Focus on sleep. When Columbia University researchers analyzed the sleep and eating habits of more than 500 women, they found that those who slept poorly consumed significantly more added sugar than those who got a good night's sleep. Poor sleep can affect the brain's reward center and make you really attracted to unhealthy or sugary foods, says study co-author Brooke Agarwal, assistant professor of medical sciences at Columbia University Medical Center. Sleep deprivation also suppresses signals of fullness, meaning you may eat more of each snack when you're tired. 3. Pinpoint your sugar triggers. Do you reach for a treat when you're anxious, lonely, bored? Some people wolf down a sleeve of cookies when they need a distraction from a hard project at work. Others devour a bowl of ice cream to treat themselves after a hard day. A lot of times, what we really want is a hug, but we find ourselves in the kitchen looking for something to make us feel better, says Ann Alexander, author of Sugar Smart Diet. Really think about what is driving your cravings. Do you want the sweet, or do you really want the hug? Once you've identified your triggers, make a list of alternative ways to handle those feelings. Maybe it's listening to music, reading a book, watching a favorite TV show, or having a long phone call with a friend. Post the list where you will see it the next time the chocolate chip cookies are calling your name. Number 4, remove temptation. Keeping a food you can't resist out of the house is one of the easiest and most powerful ways to reduce cravings, says psychologist Evan Foreman, director of the Center for Weight, Eating, and Lifestyle Science at Drexel University. In fact, our brain's reward centers are activated by just the sight of food, such as chocolate, studies show. If you have a spouse who insists on keeping sweets in the house, put those foods out of sight and out of reach, perhaps in a container at the back of a top cabinet. Then keep healthier snacks, fruit, nuts, and cut-up vegetables within reach. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.